Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, tough call on the good martini today. We very seriously considered the death of the Lockerbie bomber, Al Megrahi, only 30 months later than he was supposed to die. Finally, some justice on the way. We don't normally celebrate death, but when it's horrific terrorists like the Lockerbie...
If you blow up an airliner, I'm okay celebrating your death. That's...
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that morally complicated to me.
In fact, our regular listeners will know that Jim and I openly speculated about accidentally, on purpose, killing Megrahi during the Libya operation. So we're not all exactly shedding a lot of tears here today. However, our official number one martini today is the story that happened on Meet the Press yesterday, where a variety of quote-unquote surrogates were on to tout the merits of Obama and Romney, and obviously say some nasty things about the other campaign. Only the Democrats got a little surprise. Newark Mayor Cory Booker is an Obama supporter. However, he is not a big fan of one of the recent campaign tactics from the administration. That's going after the integrity of Bain Capital. Here's what Booker had to say on Meet the Press on Sunday.
As far as that stuff, I have to just say from a very personal level, I'm not about to sit here and indict private equity. We're getting to a ridiculous point in America, especially that I know I live in a state where pension funds, unions, and other people are investing in companies like Bain Capital. If you look at the totality of Bain Capital's record, they've done a lot to support businesses, to grow businesses, and this to me, I'm very uncomfortable.
Red alert, off message, Jim. You would have thought the guy endorsed Romney, the way the Democrats are responding here, and the panic mode set in.
He did, and of course, then later in the day, apparently he gets on a fight on Twitter. Many of his followers on Twitter are outraged that he's saying that, you know, Bain is not. Let me observe something. While I think the current tone and style and methodology of the Obama criticisms of Bain are pretty inane, look, this could be a legitimate issue. I mean, you can argue that running a company is not the same as running the government and that there are differences there, and here's why Romney's not a good choice. Or you could argue that, well, if Romney's going to take credit for jobs created at Bain, then isn't it fair to hold him accountable for jobs lost under Bain? I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that, but like there are legitimate avenues that they can go, that the Obama campaign could have gone down. And instead, they're, you know, let's showcase some crying people and say that, you know, Mitt Romney was the cause of all this, and, you know, after firing all of them, he came along and cut their hair or something like that, or whatever their current line of criticism is. So Cory Booker has the audacity to call things as he sees them and say this is kind of ridiculous. And the pressure on him comes pretty darn fast, so that by the end of Sunday afternoon, he has to issue what is now being called the hostage tape, in which he offers a four-minute version, which offers a pretty nuanced version of saying, okay, maybe Bain is legitimate to issue. But this Obama campaign takes out 30 seconds of that basically makes it sound like he's completely 100% behind Obama and completely renouncing what he said on Meet the Press. So I have had a great deal of fun this morning with the Cory Booker held hostage day one. I hope that his conscience is released unharmed at this point. A crowd of angry Obama staffers is demanding justice for his blasphemy against their religious faith. So... this comes on the heels of Cory Booker and that hilarious video he did with Chris Christie. Cory Booker having famously saved a neighbor from a fire is just kind of, you know, in this video with Christie, you have two guys in different parties who get along very well, obviously. And the joke of the video is that every time Chris Christie wants to do something, Cory Booker rushes in and fixes the problem first. Not surprised that Cory Booker would enjoy being a video in which he basically gets to play Superman, you know, rescuing falling babies and changing tires and doing one heroic feat after another. And that at this precise moment, you see these two guys in New Jersey making this funny video and showing that even if they're different parties, they can get along with each other and that they're beyond, you know, the usual partisan name calling, etc. Here comes the Obama campaign saying to Cory Booker, you cannot do that. You must be a drone marching in lockstep just the way we need you to. And he's had to spend the entire day backtracking. And so I don't think anyone's heard from Cory Booker this morning, Greg. I'm very worried about him. I was very disturbing. That video we saw yesterday, it's not he held up a newspaper headline to determine when this was taken. So before we enter any further negotiations with the Obama campaign, I want proof of life that Cory Booker's conscience is okay. Because right now it's a very tense time. So.
Wow. The unpardonable political sin with less than 6 months to go before the election of actually portraying your opponent as potentially human and suggesting that one campaign tactic may have gone too far. Apparently, there's not a lot of room for disagreement and open discussion in this administration, as we've learned on so many other issues.
There isn't. Here's the thing, is that Cory Booker was, you know, by everybody's standard, one of the great rising stars of the Democratic Party. I think there are a lot of folks on all both sides of the political spectrum who would say that as mayor of Newark, he's actually been pretty darn successful. And he does lots of little things like the shoveling snow when it snows himself. You know, little human touches that kind of make sure that this guy is very dedicated to doing his job well. And the rumor was that you know, obviously when you see him showing up in a video for Chris Christie, a lot of Democrats had hoped that Cory Booker was going to challenge Christie. The speculation now is that, as you know, Frank Lautenberg, the senator from New Jersey, is
old.
Ancient might be the word I'm looking for. Yeah. A very seasoned citizen. By the way, he was old when he retired.
That's right.
Several years before being dragged out of retirement
illegally
for a Torricelli maneuver of 2002. So let's just assume that at some point Frank Lautenberg may not be there as senator. Let's just say, you know, maybe health issues cause him to step down. You know, there'd be a opening in the Senate. Republicans would very much like to see Chris Christie appoint a Republican to replace Lautenberg. I think Christie would kind of realize that, like, that would inevitably make many Democrats in New Jersey irate. So in a way, Cory Booker is kind of the nice solution, that if you're going to put, you know, if you have to appoint a Democrat who's pretty reform-minded, pretty centrist, and definitely not from the liberal wing of the party. And so the thinking was that Christie and Booker's, you know, buddy-buddy relationship was driven by that. Now, who knows if Cory Booker is going to feel welcome in the Democratic Party with the reaction he's had to this one.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, on to Chicago and the NATO summit and all sorts of other things. The occupiers out in force behaving like they normally do and trying to pick fights with the cops. And then the media show the reaction to the attacks on the cops and blame the police. That's pretty much old hat for these radical protesters. But our official number two is President Hamid Karzai. Thanking the United States, and I'm looking at an ABC News report that says, thanking the United States for shouldering much of the cost for the decade-old war in Afghanistan as the NATO alliance readies to hand over primary responsibility to Afghan security forces. Here's the quote. I'm bringing to you and to the people of the United States the gratitude of the Afghan people for the support that your taxpayers' money has provided us over the past decade and for the difference that it has made to the well-being of the Afghan people. Jim, I'm a little bit torn here. Part of me thinks that this guy is basically saying, hey, thanks for lining my pockets. And the other half of me is just, this guy's being honest here. So I'm not sure which way to come down on this.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the worst of bad martinis, but just an observation that he's being honest. And I suppose it's nice to be thanked by, you know, from a foreign country, since most foreign countries take our foreign aid and then turn around and protest us and complain we haven't given enough. The top issue at one of the NATO summit out in Chicago has been this sense that Afghanistan mission is winding down. There was a discussion this morning on MSNBC, this sense that, like, look, we saw the surge end very quickly. Now you're seeing the generals and everyone talking Afghanistan policy is talking about a good enough solution. And once you start getting to the what's good enough, that bar can get lowered pretty darn fast. So there's just kind of this sense that Afghanistan is winding down without victory, without a solid Afghan state, and then maybe a state that is not hostile or dangerous to Western interests may not be possible in Afghanistan. And we have spent now more than a decade there. We have certainly spent a great deal of blood and treasure. We are leaving very, very quickly. France can't get out fast enough for their tastes. And you can just kind of see this Western exhaustion with Afghanistan. Now, if Afghanistan never becomes a thriving hotbed of terrorism again, then maybe we can live with a Afghanistan that is, you know, ruled by not friendly folks and does not respect human rights in any way, shape, or form. But boy, oh boy, it is not looking good. I have a very hard time believing that at no point will Al-Qaeda or any similar group ever try to take root in Afghanistan. And a very hard time believing that at some point this policy will not come back and bite us. So here's hoping that things turn out okay in Afghanistan, but it's not looking fantastic.
No, not at all. And one of the big reasons for that, Jim, the world is flat. And that leads us to martini number three. I think we may have referenced in passing last week that Chris Matthews, who routinely mocked how Sarah Palin might do on Jeopardy due to her sometimes lapses in memory on specifics on issues, mocked her repeatedly for that. Matthews came in a distant third, I believe it was on Monday's edition of Jeopardy. And now another person who thinks he's always the smartest person in the room can also claim to have come in third. This is Tom Friedman, multiple Pulitzer Prize winner, New York Times columnist, obviously, many different books, basically thinks he's got the answer to every problem in the Middle East. He was up against Kelly O'Donnell of NBC News and Anderson Cooper of CNN. Cooper One, here's a little bit of what happened to Mr. Friedman on Friday.
In 2011, Business Week said European government bonds were this poisonous kind of debt. Tom.
Subprime?
No. Kelly.
What is toxic?
Toxic, that's it. It's the tiny term for a person who writes short posts about one's personal life on Tumblr or Twitter. Tom.
A tweeter? What is a tweeter?
No. Anderson or Kelly? What is a microblogger? The category is inventors, and here is the clue. The National Inventors Hall of Fame said his work brought the South prosperity, but he was out of business within 5 years. Let's go over there to Thomas Friedman, and he's not looking too happy because he couldn't come up with anyone. And what did it cost you? 7,400. You're at 1,000.
No, there you go. He came in third place. And Jim, I think the most appalling part is that twice he failed to phrase his response in the form of a question. And the fact that just about every third grader knows who Eli Whitney is, and nobody got that right. But so at least some of the self-important people got a little bit of some humble pie at Jeopardy last week.
Two other kind of ironies in that in the exchange he had with Alex Trebek, they were asked, what is the shape of the world? They looked at the sphere, and Friedman said, what is flat? And that is ruled incorrect, I'm sorry. The other one is apparently for every other question, Friedman said, what is China? reflecting the tone of his recent columns, he said that he wished we could be China for a day. Just one day do we need to be a dictatorship in which, the authoritarian regime can, force its will upon the citizenry. Jonah has really kind of takes Thomas Friedman to task in his new book, The Tyranny of Clichés. He really kind of observes that there's this mentality of amongst elites, if we just had more power, we'd be able to solve all these problems. If we just had total control just for a little while, things would be better. And if you don't understand the danger in that mentality, I don't know what I can say to you. So Tom Friedman, playing for charity. I feel sympathies for the charity he was playing for, and it was the Flat Earth Society or something about the, Chinese Government Benevolence Fund or something like that. But obviously, I wasn't playing for Victims of Tiananmen Family Fund or something like that. So. And how appropriate is it that Chris Matthews and Tom Friedman, of all the people in the mainstream media who end up going on Jeopardy, Chuck Todd did very well, and that doesn't really surprise me. Chuck Todd is, a walking encyclopedia of all kind of obscure political trivia. But Matthews and Friedman, zeroing out, that kind of does – somehow I'm less than stunned by that development, Greg.
Yeah, probably so. But unfortunately, that won't change the arrogance that they express on TV or in their columns. But we can at least snicker for a day. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.